welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's pretty pretty wonderful Wednesday down here in Florida. Actually, we got some really, really nice Florida weather back after that nice storm we had yesterday, just monsoons of rain. We got to get the generator running real good and got the cobwebs worked out of that, which is always a good thing. So we try to stay prepared as possible, and that's usually the best way to live, especially in this country. So how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I mean, we've got, like you said, it's a beautiful day. It's about 72 degrees today, clear blue skies. You know, it's like without chemtrails, it's like a day with sunshine. I mean that very sincerely. Oh, I was listening to Alex a little while ago, and boy, he is getting under attack by the mainstream media. So as I said yesterday, we need to continue to pray for Alex and all the people that are the point of the spear, the Hagmans, the Hodges, our show, Sheila's show, all of us who are working together as a cohesive unit. See, there are a lot of people that are involved in the alternative media that don't work together. I know that comes as a shock to you, but it's not really a shock to a lot of those who are involved in it. A lot of this media that we have in the alternative region, I guess you'd say, is very, very, how should I say this in a nice way? A lot of people are so competitive, they don't like other people having bigger numbers than they do. And so they get angry and want to badmouth everybody. Hey, I'm not like that. If you're telling the truth, you need to pray for the people, period. That's why yesterday I told you guys that I figured that they were coming after Alex, and man, I was right. I guess I must have felt it in my spirit. I told us that we had to pray for him. Also, I mentioned something yesterday that I want to clarify. The reason I said he's got to be really, really careful right now, because he's mentioned multiple times about drinking on the air, he's got to be really careful that he doesn't get set up for a DUI with some type of accident involved in it right now in his life. That's really, really important. That's one of the things that I always tell all of my friends is this. Guys, if you're going to drink, don't drive. Get a designated driver, because in the state of Florida, if you're involved in a homicide or a death with an act with a car and you've been drinking, you automatically have a mandatory 3 years in prison. Automatically. No anything about it, no parole for 3 years. I don't care if you're a doctor, an attorney, a lawyer, a talk show host. It makes no difference. You get busted for a DUI and somebody's been hurt or killed, you're going to go to jail, period. That's just how it works in our state. So, guys, just pray for all of the talk show hosts that we all use discernment and discretion, and we're careful. Now, guys, I don't really drink. I may have a beer every once in a while or whatever, a glass of wine, that I really don't like wine. It kind of tastes nasty to me, and I can't stand mixed drinks at all. I just don't really care for any of that stuff, never have. But here's the thing. A lot of people out there in the alternative health field drink. Now, one of the reasons they do that, and I'm just going to be real direct with you guys about this, is this. A lot of them aren't saved. Okay, they're not saved. So they can't go into God's rest. They can't turn it off in their brain. It's like the night when we had the big election on November the 8th here a few months ago, last month. And I told you guys, I just came home at 8 o'clock after my birthday party that night, you know, when I went to bed. And I decided at that point that I was going to just go right ahead and just go to sleep, go to bed, and not even pay any attention to it and not turn back on the TV set. Austin, how does my sound to you?
Pretty good, man. I can hear you just fine. How do I sound?
You sound good. Sharon just told me I had bad reception, and I thought I was doing pretty good with it. But anyhow, so back to the, so Todd, if you'll check that for me, please. But anyhow, but I just went to bed, and here's why. I entered into God's rest. You know, the Bible says that we cast our burdens upon Him, that we give Him the worries and the cares of our life, and then we don't get involved in it. If something really, really stresses you out, you need to be able to walk away from it and give the worries and the burdens and the cares to God. That's what being a Christian is all about. When a person who is not saved doesn't have that joy, that righteousness, peace on the inside, if they don't have that, then what ends up happening a lot of times, they turn to drugs or alcohol and they self-medicate. Now, my mother did this. She smoked a lot of cigarettes and she drank a lot of beer, and she went through some horrible, horrible stuff in Germany during World War II, watching almost all of our relatives die. It was horrible. Bombs falling all around you. I mean, that's got to be pretty stressful, you know, sitting around having to black out your windows at night so somebody doesn't drop a bomb through your roof. I mean, we think we've got it bad here with FEMA and everything else. Imagine people dropping bombs on us. I mean, how horrible would that be? So it messed her up. So what she did is she really couldn't deal with a lot of this because she had been to Lutheran church all of her life, and she didn't understand what having a deep relationship with Jesus Christ was all about. You know, may she rest in peace, because I love my mom. But she just didn't have that ability. So she would self-medicate with cigarettes and with alcohol. Now, by the grace of God, she did not smoke when she was pregnant with us, because even back in the 50s, they knew that wasn't healthy to do with kids. But what ended up happening is she got to a point where she just wanted to always just self-medicate. That's what it was all about. And my brother, the same thing. He was born in the war, went through a lot of stuff, saw a lot of bad stuff, and he ended up self-medicating, became an alcoholic. So guys, it's very easy to do that. Let me give you a little bit of advice here. 10% of the population, 10% is genetically predisposed that if they start drinking alcohol, they're going to get addicted, period. That's how it happens. That's why we have tens of millions of alcoholics in the United States. It's just how it is. And these guys, these alcoholics, they have a tendency to think they're really not drunk anymore when they really are drunk from a reflex standpoint. And they shouldn't be out driving cars, and they should be basically getting a designated driver or taking a taxi. A lot of cities now have taxis you can call for people who have drunk too much, and they don't even get charged to be taken home because they don't want them driving and killing people. That's why we have this organization, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. But that's why all the talk show hosts need to realize that, you know, there's a higher way. And what we try to do on this show is I try to incorporate Jesus Christ into every aspect of the show that we do. Now you say, well, you're a little bit too religious for me. Okay, great. I'm happy. There's a lot of ones out there that aren't too religious. You can listen to those guys, because I'm not going to change that. I'm a born-again child of God. I was saved in the spring of 1979 while attending graduate school at Florida State University. I remember the day, the time, the place. And the thing about it is, guys, I remember all of that stuff. I've got a specific time when I accepted Christ. A lot of people don't have that. A lot of people get into the alternative news media because they're patriots, but they're not born again. The thing about it is, though, when you start dwelling and delving into this Satanism, it's very difficult to get around that stuff and not have it really mess with your head and make you really, really negative unless you understand who you are as a born-again child of God. This is very important stuff I'm covering with you guys today. So for those of you out there right now who say, well, I can't deal with this stuff. A lot of this stuff is just too negative. Well, you have to be able to walk away and enter into God's rest. That's the most important thing, is to realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It doesn't make a difference. Even if they kill us, it doesn't make any difference, because death, where is thy victory? Where is thy sting? We know that as soon as we leave this energy field, we go to the next energy field, because Einstein told us energy cannot be destroyed. It just goes into another level. So our spirit, our soul, our being itself just goes to be with God, because we're connected to Him in heaven through the Holy Spirit as soon as we die, as far as I'm concerned. And I believe that there may be a lag time that on this planet for that, but I believe it'll seem as though it's instantaneous when we check out, because there is no timeline with God, because He doesn't wear a wristwatch. So guys, listen to me for a second. Always remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The Bible says, commit your plans unto the Lord and they will succeed. It also says in John, we need to do what pleases Him if we obey His commands. Guys, do the best you can. Grace will take care of the rest of it. But remember, it doesn't matter how negative this stuff is, we have God in Jesus Christ that will deliver us from all of this stuff. And also remember, if you aren't saved, or if you know people who aren't saved and they're talking about this stuff, try to share with them the gospel. Try to explain to them what happened in Genesis chapter 6. Because if you don't get what's going on with these interdimensional beings that are actually trying and to control the planet and, you know, and basically possessing people, you know, you're not going to get it. I believe that's possible. A lot of people don't believe that's possible. A lot of alternative talk show hosts who aren't Christians don't believe that's possible. I believe that's possible. If that's too far extreme for you guys, then I'm quoting the Bible on that. Okay, well, then go ahead and go back to book, chapter, and verse if you'd like, and you can see yourself that Jesus actually cast out demons out of people that were basically completely and totally possessed, even throwing the person who was possessed into fires. Guys, this is what it's all about, being a Christian. The biggest problem that we have today in America with Christianity is that we've been emasculated. We've been castrated. We don't have the testosterone. We're not being taught the truth about the power and the authority of the believer that we have through Jesus Christ. And see, if you understand that, if you understand who you are in Christ Jesus and the authority you've been given by God, because you're in blood covenant with God through Jesus Christ into His dimension, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. If you understand that, then everything starts making more sense, and it's easier to deal with this stuff on an ongoing basis. What do you think about all this, Oz?
No, You're absolutely right about it, because that's what you see in a lot of these areas now, where as far as people are constantly, and that's why they always say, you know, the bars and all this stuff like that always stay busy regardless of what's going on. They always make a lot of money, and that's another reason why the entire war on drugs has been such a sham, because there's always going to be a significant portion of the population that has to use some type of basically compound to help with their mood, to basically self-medicate, as you just said. And whether it's alcohol, tobacco, or other types of drugs, that's going to happen. And so what the globalists have done now is they've preyed on that with making these drugs, you know, scheduled one controlled substances, so that way they can use it as an excuse to put more people in the prison industrial complex instead of actually looking at the real root of saying, hey, we need to get more people saved. We need to be a better witness. We need to try and get more people in church, because a lot of times when that happens, it will completely get rid of a lot of the other drug factors that are going on. So you're really, really, really on point with that. I'm glad you brought that up today.
Well, it's so funny. I had a huge producer call me the other day, and they want to start doing a national TV talk show with you and me. And he said, the problem we have, though, is that you're too religious. That's what he said. He goes, we need to have a tape that's done that you're just talking about health and world politics and news without going into any Christian stuff, because we can't sell that to the mainstream media. We can't sell that to get you a national audience because it's too segmented. Well, my response to him was, pound salt. That was my response. I have no interest in compromising who I am and what I am. When God woke me up and spoke to me in a dream while I was still sleeping 5.5 years ago, and then I woke up soaking wet in sweat, and he took me out of a semi-retirement mode and put me back to work 5.5 years ago now, it wasn't because he wanted me to not talk about him or about Jesus. It was because he wanted me to be able to talk about him as much as I possibly could, and to use the talents that he's given me to bring honor and glory to him, and to bring people to a knowledge of the gospel and to help people get saved. It had nothing to do with having more notoriety. What you guys, most of the people listening to the show, I was on the seminar circuit back 20 years ago. I spoke to groups as large as 40,000 in stadiums, following the top speakers in the world to Luke. Everybody knew who I was. I was in all the papers and all the stuff and the TV shows, news, radios, everything. I mean, I was doing a river rafting ride one time in Colorado, and one of the guys in the raft says, man, you sound like that guy I heard on the show down there in Arizona one time on the top 10 foods never to eat. I said, well, that was me. I did so much stuff that had I had a TV show and not just radio, I would be recognized. When Rod Parsley put me on his show about 10 years ago on an ongoing basis, I was being recognized everywhere I went, including airports and other countries. So I'm not concerned about notoriety. That's not my big deal. I've already had all that, and I learned something very quickly. As soon as you fade from the public eye, you're quickly forgotten. I've got that too. I understand how that works. So I'm not really concerned about trying to capture that star again and say, oh, look at me, I'm this and I'm that. I don't care about that. If you want to listen to me, great. If you want to listen to Alex, great. If you want to listen to Joyce, that's great. If you want to listen to Hagman, that's great. If you want to listen to Doug and Sheila and all the rest of us, that's great. I don't care. I'm not going to get upset with you if you listen to somebody else. I think we all need to have a broad base of knowledge. But here's my thing. My show is based on Christianity. My show is based on me being a born-again Christian, and that's how Austin feels about it too. And I know this. If I did not understand Christianity to the level that I understand it, with multidimensional universes, if I did not understand Christianity the way I understand it about being born again and letting going into God's rest, if I did not understand it to the level that I understand it, I couldn't tell you guys the stuff that's happening globally, because it doesn't make any sense. None of this makes any sense unless you realize that Genesis 6 is still going on, that these whatever you want to call them, aliens, demons, angels, extraterrestrials, you pick the name. I don't care. It says in Genesis chapter 6, they were there before and after the flood. We know there's something going on in Antarctica. The Germans knew something was going down in Antarctica. I mean, the Nazis did. I mean, all this crazy stuff that's happening in this planet that we're never told the truth about, and we're basically kept like a bunch of mushrooms in the dark, getting shoveled a bunch of poop all the time, being told this is the truth. The only thing that's come back to bite them in the butts now is the fact that the alternative media has taken an incredibly powerful stand, and we're actually reaching more people than the mainstream media is reaching, and their propaganda network is no longer functioning properly. It's broken. It doesn't work. So now they don't know what to do. I mean, that's the problem with when you allow people to have freedom of speech – and freedom of the press. Remember with King George back in the 1700s, before we rebelled against King George with the Revolutionary War, we had enough because he was controlling the press. He was controlling everything. He could put soldiers in your house, take your house, make you feed the soldiers. It didn't make any difference what he did. He could come in and do search and seizure on your stuff, and he could do anything he wanted to, including tax you without equal representation. It didn't make a difference. He was a tyrant. He was a king. Do what you want to do. Guys, that's what happens when you allow one group of people to control everything. I remember I was watching that movie, Rob Roy. Incredible movie with Liam Neeson. You have to make sure you be careful with your kids. There's some pretty rough stuff in it. But what was happening with Rob Roy, it was crazy. This nobleman decided that he was guilty. No trial, nothing. And the guy says, hang him over here. Hang him over here. Just hang him. It's okay. You can hang him. I'm the noble guy. He's the serf. Hang him. And they tried to hang him. And, of course, if you watch the movie, I won't ruin it for you, but he got away. But the point is this. That's what they want again. They want a form of feudalism unless they have, because they have the rich and the poor, and they have the nobility, and they have the serfs. And we, the serfs, in case you, unless you have a ticket to one of their underground bunker complexes, that's what they consider you to be, they're going to do whatever they want to do to you whenever they want to do it. Now, here's another article right here. It just came in. It says, what were they thinking? Government now tried to pass mandated tracking chips for kids with autism. Unbelievable. Oh. The House Judiciary Committee killed a bill Wednesday that some would have given the federal government a sweeping power to mandate the electronic surveillance of people with conditions such as autism and Alzheimer's disease. The measure was originally slated for the committee markup on Wednesday, but was canceled. Multiple sources on the Hill with knowledge of the situation said that the hearing was canceled after several GOP committee members voiced concerns about how the language dealt with privacy and civil liberty issues. This goes right back to tracking chips and all the other things that they've been trying to put into us. Here's what they can do. They can make you swallow a doggone tracking beacon. Remember that movie with Patrick Swayze back in the 80s? What was it called? Red Dawn? And they actually, the Russians had that one kid, one of their friends, swallow a tracking chip and lead them directly back to the camp up in the mountains. And, I mean, this is what they want. They want all of us to take tracking chips. Now, it'll be easier for us to take the tracking chip because they've already put tracking chips in us with the nanotechnology through the Morgellons disease and all of the smart dust they've sprayed on us with the chemtrails. But now let's make it legal. Let's make it legal that we can track everybody. So if Ted and Austin decide that they want to go ahead and do something like fun, like go hiking up in the mountains, they'll know exactly where we are every single second and every single step that we take by their smart machines, by their AIs, and by their satellites circling the planet. This is complete and total draconian legislation. And now they're trying to chip the autistic kids, and they're also trying to chip the Alzheimer's patients. Well, why don't we go ahead and chip the felons? Why don't we go ahead and do this? Why don't we put tracking chips in everybody so that we don't have any more identity fraud to protect you? I think we need to protect you. We need to make sure we have a safer place for you to live and protect you by tracking you in all the areas of your life. I think that's important. Of course, I'm being facetious, but that's how this goes. What happened to our Fourth Amendment? Gosh, that's gone. That's done. That's over with. That's just over. First Amendment now. Now they're telling us that we can't say certain things on talk shows anymore because it's classified as hate speech. The guy in Germany who raped that young college student, his image was being sent all over the place on Facebook and on Twitter, all over social media in Germany, and they made it illegal. They banned it. They said they can't do it. Because remember, they don't have the First Amendment rights that we have in the United States. They don't have our Constitution in Germany. They can't just say things. Certain words are verboten. They're forbidden. Because that's what they want us to go to. If you want to see where they want to take the United States, go to Germany, watch the tyranny, watch the open borders, watch this mass influx of these Muslim terrorists coming into Germany and the raping and the pillaging. And now, you can't show a picture of a Muslim. That's racist. Well, they raped my daughter. That's racist. You mean I should have let them rape my daughter? Yes! You should have let them rape your daughter and should have been quiet about it. This guy probably hadn't had sex with a woman for at least a week. The last five people he had sex with were little boys, so he probably was horny, and he had to have sex with a woman. So he's okay to rape your daughter. You're a racist. This is the insanity. The insanity that we're going through right now in Europe. And it's all over Germany. Because that ex-Stasi police officer, Angela Merkel, is basically running the country. It's complete and total nonsense. And as far as me and my household,
We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and Yahweh and Yeshua. That's who we're going to serve. That's what we're going to do. And that's how this show is always going to be centered. And I don't care if I'm offered a huge contract by a producer to do a TV show. I will always speak the truth, and it will always be Christ-based. And if people don't like that, guess what? They don't have to watch. I'm okay with that, too. What do you think, Austin?
Amen. Absolutely right about that. They don't, and that's what I've told people too before. If you don't agree with our show, if you don't like what we say, you don't have to listen to us. It's simple as that. You're not going to offend. You're not going to offend me. You're not going to offend Dad. All we're trying to do.
We won't know if you're not listening. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. If you want to email me and say I'm not going to listen to you anymore because I don't like the way you do this, I really don't care either. I'm just going to delete your email and I'm not going to respond to you, because if you're going to email me with a bunch of negative, really off-putting comments and using profanity and everything else about something you don't like what we said, if there's something that we need to retract or something we need to correct, a lot of times we've done that. But if you're just mad, you don't like what we say, and you want to write me something, I'm just going to delete your email after about the first sentence. So just understand that. You're better off just to not listen to us anymore if you don't like us. It's that simple. It's really not that difficult of a concept. If I don't want to listen to the mainstream media, I don't listen to it. I don't write CNN News and tell them they're all a bunch of liars. They already know what they do on there. So the same goes with us. We tell the truth. We believe in God. We believe in Yahweh. We believe in Yeshua. If you don't like that, if you don't want to listen to us, that's fine. You're not going to offend me. You don't have to listen to us at all. But so you're absolutely right about that, Dad. But that's what I talked about yesterday with the mainstream media over in Europe now. It's insane. They're going full-blown to tyrannical over there now. I mean, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Microsoft, all of them now have been contacted by the European Union. I talked about this in short detail yesterday, but they're basically saying now within 24 hours, any content that they deem to be fake news or to be extremist content or deemed to be, you know, any type of bigotry, racist, hatred, essentially what it is, anything they don't agree with. That's what I went into detail with yesterday. The term fake news now is being used so broad, it has nothing to do, it has absolutely nothing to do with trying to stop with poor news or incorrect stuff. It's all about stopping people from getting real, true information and making sure the mainstream media keeps baby spooning everybody the mainstream lies that they want everybody to believe. And as Dad just said, Europe, they don't have the First Amendment right over there. So they don't have that ability to really fight for this right, nor do they have the Second Amendment right. As I've said so many times on this show, and this is why I'm so adamant about making sure that the American population stays very well armed, and not just armed, very proficient, and trains regularly with their firearms, is because the Second Amendment is the teeth to our Constitution. If we ever allowed that to be removed from the Constitution, or it was so heavily restricted that it was unfunctional, like I discussed on Hagman's show 2 weeks ago, like they've done out in California with their bullet button mag drops and their 10-round magazine bans and all this other nonsense that they put up with over there that they've allowed to happen. Now they have to have a permit to buy ammunition, have to get permission from the government to buy ammunition, and they're restricted on how much they can buy on top of all the other restrictions now. If we allowed that to happen in this country, which I don't think we will ever do because there's too many patriots here, it would literally be the end of the United States within a few years, if that, if it even lasts that long. Because every single country knows, and the globalists know, that any type of full-scale attack on the United States would be very, very difficult to achieve successfully with the amount of arms that we have here. That's why I went into detail about on that show with Hagman about everybody making sure you have high capacity drums and you have the ability to feed your weapons properly and in large amounts at a time. But also in other news, I talked about yesterday, you know, as they're trying to get rid of our vehicles, at the same time they're doing more and more and more to track them. Honda now has just released their latest electric car, and they're now releasing it with human emotion detector technology. Car manufacturer Honda has come up with a better way to interact with humans. It has created a car that it says can feel your emotions. According to the company, it is a concept automated EV commuter vehicle equipped with artificial intelligence called Emotion Engine that creates new possibilities for human interaction and the value for customers. The process involved aiming for the car to utilize conversations with the driver. So now you're going to talk to the car together with other information obtained from various sensors. I'm sure sure that's going to be something like steering wheel sensors, how warm your hands are. Are they sweating? Probably also seat sensors as far as how much you're moving. More than likely, they'll have eye retinal scanners, too, to see how you're looking on there. Cameras installed also in the vehicle to watch you, both to perceive the emotions of the driver and to engage in dialogue with the driver based on the vehicle's own emotions. Guys, this is where it's headed with the AI. They want to track, monitor, control, and manipulate every single aspect of your life. Not on top of just doing that, with the advertisement potential that they're going to utilize with this, they will literally sell anything they hear you talk about, anything you wear, anything you look at, any place you go. They will sell that to third-party marketing advertisers, just like they do in Minority Report. You guys need to watch that movie if you want to see where the globalists want to take this AI, and actually, it goes into detail as far as how ridiculous the marketing is and how it barrages you from every single angle. That's where they're trying to take this, and now Honda stepped up the level with this now to track and monitor everything you do so the vehicle has emotions and they interact with your own emotions. It's just getting insane to me, Dad, where this is headed, but we knew it was going this way. What do you think about Honda doing that now?
Let me give you an example. Like yesterday, I've got a friend of mine who's a watch business, and I don't really wear a watch anymore unless like I'm going on a date or something, because I mean you use your iPhone all the time to tell you what time it is. The iPhone's like a pocket watch, right? And so what's interesting about this is that, you know, he was telling me about a certain watch he had, he wanted me to look at, you know, just regular watch. And I said, okay. And so I looked it up online, and I didn't realize that my cookies were turned on the iPad. The next time I have another article pop up, this watch starts popping up everywhere. It's like coming up in my dreams, right? It's here, there's the watch, there's the watch, everywhere's the watch. Like eight times, when eight more different articles popped up, eight more times this watch popped up. And I'm thinking to myself, what the heck? And so I looked back and saw my cookies were turned on. I thought, this is crazy. This is what they're talking about doing. You're having a conversation with a car. Well, Ted, your pulse rate's up. Yeah, I know. Shut up. No, I can't shut up, Ted. You've turned me on. I'm the AI. So are you okay? Well, I'm running kind of fast down the road right now. I don't have my radar detector on. Oh, do you need a new radar detector, Ted? Oh, we've got companies for radar detectors. You know, then he starts listing to different companies. Would you like me to order you one of these real quick? No, I don't want you to. I want you to shut up. Well, no, you can't make me shut up because I'm going to be here talking to you the whole time. But your palms are still sweaty. Now I've noticed that your eyes are dilated. Is your adrenaline up, Ted, going too fast? Maybe you need to pull over. I'm going to automatically reduce the speed of the car now because I think you're a little bit agitated and I don't think you need to be driving this fast. And so we're going to slow you down now about 10 miles an hour under the speed limit. But I don't want to slow down. It doesn't make any difference. We're going to do that. Think I'm joking? The other day, I got a diesel truck. I had some kind of DPF signals thing on my tank. This is some kind of diesel particulate fluid that it has to burn the exhaust out with. It went bad. And it says to me on the dashboard, oh, by the way, in 8 miles now, you're going to be dropped, you know, to 65 miles an hour. And I'm thinking to myself, whatever, 65, 10 miles later. Okay, now we're dropping you to 65 miles an hour. You have 70 miles to seek a service center or you'll be dropped to 55 miles an hour. It's telling me that on the dash. Austin saw it. And I thought to myself, what the heck? I don't want to drive 65 miles an hour. I'm on the interstate. Didn't make a difference. It slowed me right down. And I thought to myself, wow. Don't think they have the technology. It just happened to me on Saturday going to the Soho convention over there in Orlando, which is a health food convention. Happened to me on Saturday this past week. The only difference was there was not an audio interface. And it wasn't measuring a galvanic skin temperature from my steering wheel or my palms. And it wasn't videotaping my eyes to see what kind of dilation I have. Here's another thing that happened. The AI that they're trying to hook us up to, this artificial intelligence that ties into the next dimension, allow Lucifer to come in and do his little thing to us, he reads that we're basically agitated. AI automatically says, well, it's time to pull Ted over on the side of the road, let him cool down some. We need to go ahead and send the ambulance because we need to go ahead and medicate Ted now. We need to go ahead and calm him down and get him on some tranquilizers. And we're going to go ahead and force him to swallow a tracking monitor chip now, and we're going to go ahead and also ankle bracelet him, and we're going to remind him every so many hours he has to take his meds, and if he doesn't, then we're going to go ahead and have him arrested and taken him over to the hospital and have the meds forcibly administrated so he can be basically readjusted, so he can have some therapy done to fix what's wrong with him. Think I'm kidding? Hillary wanted us to go to re-education camps
because we were not allowing the Muslims and the immigrants to fly into the country, because we are part of a great right-wing conspiracy, all of us that are saying that the federal government's got some issues. Guys, this is their goal. This is what they want to do. They've already done it with the Morgellons nanotrackers that have tied into our central nervous system. Dr. Lena Freeland says the same thing, that she believes that they can already get a DNA reading on us, our exact frequency, by monitoring us with one of their computer systems, or just focusing on us to see what our DNA is. And they can track us already because of the advanced off-world breakaway civilization technology they've already sprayed us with smart dust. You think, well, Ted, this is just too far out there. Hey, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. It sounds nuts to me, too. The problem is they've got the technology. And so when we read this stuff saying they're going to do it, and now they're censoring us, because why are they censoring us? Because of this.
Yep.
There's a narrative, and I've talked about this, and I'm the only talk show host that has talked about this, this cloud that has been put around the eyes of the unbeliever, how they do that through the attention field and the energy field around the planet, and how they have a certain narrative, a spell they cast on us, that allows them to control us in an alpha and theta brainwave state when we watch their TV shows at night. Then I had another guy, he said to me, he sent me an email today, I thought, I love this when they do this. I was on with a national talk show, a Christian talk show, huge TV show, and I was on with it, and I was saying something about if we need to learn how these guys, these blithering idiots that are doing this to us, are really serious about this. And so he sent me the email today, he goes, you shouldn't say blithering idiot, it offends people. So I got, this is my personal email today. You shouldn't say blithering idiot. Well, guys, what would you like to call them? A non-blithering idiot? What we should just call them? A semi-blithering idiot? A pseudo-blithering idiot? Maybe just an idiot. What's the best thing to say when people want us to be enslaved and they're doing everything to do to enslave us? Are we supposed to be called them a misguided blithering idiot? Or maybe a fool? Where do we draw the line? When's it not politically correct? Okay, so it's offensive because I said the word blithering idiot? Well, what's not offensive? Every time Jesus told these guys the truth, especially the guys who were selling the stuff in the temple, they got all irate and bent out of shape. So he finally had enough of them. He fashioned a whip and beat the holy living yak-yak out of them and ran them out of the temple and flipped over their tables. Now, guys, where does this stop? Where do we draw the line and say, you can't use the word bad or dumb or stupid or idiot or blithering idiot? Where do you say that you can and can't do? So, guys, listen to me. This show's not scripted. We're not on teleprompter. We're not reading a script. I remember years ago, Rod Parsley had me come on the first time, and we'd helped him lose 40 pounds. He lost 37 pounds. He lost 37 pounds, 11 inches of his waist, dropped his cholesterol from like over 500 down to like 250, and his triglycerides over 1,000 down to normal levels. And he brings me in to do this TV show with him on his Breakthrough Health program. And what was interesting about this is we're sitting there talking about the show we're going to do the next day, and his assistant brings me in a script, and says, this will be your script for the teleprompter. We've written the whole show out for you guys, so we've scripted it out so you'll know what to say. And I just started laughing, Austin. I started laughing, and I said, script? I said, you can keep your script. I'm sorry you've wasted all this time and manpower putting a script together. I don't need a script. I've done this thousands and thousands of times in the top 10 foods never to eat. And if you make me read the doggone thing, I'm not going to be nearly as effective because I'm not going to be coming from my heart. I'm going to be coming from what you've written. And Rod started laughing and he goes, I don't think we're going to need a script for this guest. And so we could have a script. So it ended up being one of the biggest shows that they had ever run. And they ran it repeatedly for several years, probably once or twice a month, because he knew it always had a good response as far as helping him with fundraising. Guys, listen to me for a second. We've got to be real. The world has had enough of phonies. Trump gets up there and he's, you know, he'll use a hell or a damn or whatever he says, and forgive my language for quoting him, and he'll say stuff like that, and the mainstream media comes out and they go, we can't believe he said hell. We can't believe he said damn. In the meantime, they're going to their soul cooking parties, calling up every demon from hell with every filthy word they can find. In the meantime, that stupid book, 50 Shades of Grey, sells 60 million copies in the United States. It's full of filthy language. In the meantime, they're offended because Trump says a hell or a damn in a doggone seminar, in a speech. Well, guess what? At least he's real. And see, that's what the people in the United States saw, Austin. They saw that, okay, we got a guy who's not perfect, but he's real. And guys have had enough. We've all had enough of the phonies. telling you a lie, the talking heads with the colors, the cadence, the rhythm, the flicker rates, the alpha brainwaves, the theta brainwave states, putting you into a hypnotic trance. I don't want you in a hypnotic trance. I want you angry enough to do something and to tell your friends not to immunize their children. I want you angry enough that you can tell your relatives, hey, wait a minute, maybe guys, we need to think about what we're doing, and maybe this isn't a good idea. Maybe this is what they want us to do. That's where I want you. Now, if I have the ability to do that by the grace of God, then to me, I've succeeded in doing what I want to do. So guys, thank you for listening, and thank you for allowing me to be me and Austin to be Austin. And guys, it's like Austin said, if you want to send us emails and just gripe at us because we use blithering idiot or we said another word that you don't like, guys, do me a favor. Send it to Anderson Cooper, the gay guy with the white hair. Okay, send it to that guy. Why don't you send him a letter and say you don't like him and see if he even sees it, if he even reads it. He'll never even know you sent it to him. That's CIA operative. I mean, guys, listen to me for a second. If you want to do something different than we are doing it, I'm good with that. Start your own show. I'm okay with that. Start your own show, and you can deal with the people sending you letters saying they don't like you. Because, guys, it's just part of it. I've learned a long time ago, you can please some of the people some of the time, but you're never going to please all of the people all of the time. It simply does not work. Now, I've got an article here by Michael Schneider. I got to get off this topic. I've been on this tear now for half an hour. Shocking truth about how Barack Obama was able to prop up the U.S. economy. This is by Michael Schneider. And I like Michael Schneider a lot. When I was sub-hosting the Power Hour for Joyce, I interviewed Mike, and he did a good job for me on the interview. He said, Barack Obama is one of the biggest Keynesians of all time. We're going to explain what that means in a minute. But unfortunately, most Americans don't even understand what that means. In this article, I'm going to share with you the primary reason why Barack Obama has been able to prop up the U.S. economy over the past 8 years. If Barack Obama had not taken the extreme measures that he did, he would be in the midst of a historic economic depression right now. But by propping things up in the short term, he has absolutely demolished our long-term economic future. But like most politicians, Obama has been willing to sacrifice the future for short-term political gain. Okay, I like Mike. The overall, what he just said is true, except Barack Obama didn't do this. Barack Obama had absolutely nothing to do with this. This was the Rothschild banking cartel printing trillions of dollars in off-book balance sheets. This was the Congress basically borrowing money hand over fist. This was the giant bailout that the Federal Reserve Bank allowed our government to do to bail out the Federal Reserve banks like Citibank without even the approval of the American people. We never voted on this junk. Okay, this is what Barack Obama did. This is what he did with George Bush's approval, where the banks were too big to fail. No, they weren't. They were Rothschild banks, so they did not want them to fail. That's why they weren't allowed to fail. All kinds of mom-and-pop businesses and banks went out of business all over the United States, but these guys with this huge amount of debt, they did not go out of business because they were propped up through currency that was printed or digitally produced by the Federal Reserve and other master banks through derivatives. Now, he says one other thing here that's really good about Keynes. He goes, here's something that's said with Keynes. An economic theory of total, this is Keynesianism, economics. An economic theory of total spending in the economy and its effects on output inflation. Keynesian economics was developed by the British economist John Maynard Keynes during the 1930s in an attempt to understand the Great Depression. Keynes advocated increased government expenditures and lower taxes to stimulate demand and pull the global economy out of the depression. Subsequently, the term Keynesian economics was used to refer to the concept that optimal economic performance could be achieved and economic slumps prevented by influence aggregate demand through activist stabilization and economic intervention policies by the government. That's proven to be a complete lie. Keynesian economics is considered to be a demand-side theory that focuses on changes in the economy over the short run. So what they're saying is when the government sees that the economy is having a downturn and gross domestic product is becoming less, the government pours money into the economy to stimulate the economy. They pour the money into the economy through debt-based monetary system through the Rothschild banking cartel, putting the people deeper and deeper into debt, never printing the currency that's going to be charged in the interest, thereby making it impossible to pay off the debt. It can't be paid off because the interest was never printed. I've gone into detail on shows on how that works. So you end up with a $20 trillion deficit, with $150 trillion in basically unfunded liabilities that we don't have the money for, and $2 quadrillion, that's $2,000 trillion, in derivative debt to fund this expansion that we've had in the stock market and back in the housing market for the past 8 years. Here's the problem, and this article doesn't go into address this. If we as an American people do not get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank and we do not stop relying on a debt-based fiat Keynesian economic policy system being controlled by an offshore banking elite cartel called the Rothschilds, and I don't even like calling them elite, Satan group is what I need to call them, then we're never going to fix this mess. We've got to come in, we've got to find a way, like we used to do back in before 1913, and issue debt-free money. Bring manufacturing back into the United States, issue debt-free money, and we'll be able to fix this mess. But as long as we're allowing these banks to cause inflation and then deflation by contraction of the M1 or the total money in circulation, we will never have the ability to fix the economy. So Michael wrote an excellent article here about what Obama has done, but it wasn't Obama. It's what the Federal Reserve Bank did, and it's what Obama agreed to and signed into law with the Congress. That's basically a bunch of drunken, spend-happy whackbags up there like little boys. I mean, this is some crazy stuff that we've got going on right now. But, guys, the only way we're going to fix this stuff is to get rid of that Federal Reserve. What do you think, Austin?
Well, you're absolutely right. Spin-happy whackbags, really. That made me chuckle there a second ago. But it kind of brought me to that tweet that if you guys saw Trump put out on Tuesday. He said, Boeing is building a brand new 747 Air Force One for future presidents, but costs are out of control. More than $4 billion for this new 747.
Cancel order.
$4 billion. That's with a B. Not $40 million, not $400 million, not even a billion. $4 billion. And what's crazy about this is what they're going to find if he actually sticks to his guns on this. This is going to be one of the first presidents in history that has been on the billionaire level as far as income. So most of the people in the government, they don't care about money. A lot of the people in the government have never operated a business. They've never had to have operating cash flow. They've never had cost of goods. They've never had inventory carrying costs. They never have any of this stuff. They literally vote themselves raises for their entire life and then retire on a $150,000 a year pension and do nothing. This is the mindset that a lot of these individuals up in government are dealing with. So what happens is when they say a Boeing gives them a contract, says, yeah, we'll make you Air Force One, it'll be $4 billion. They go, okay, build it, it's fine, we'll pay that for it. Just like when the military got they bought the MRAP contract from the one company, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, I'll remember it later though, when they got the MRAPs, the big armored vehicles that replaced the Hummers, they were paying between $350,000 to $600,000 per unit, guys, per unit they were paying that. A lot of instances, these military contracts go to friends of the friends that are in the military, that are the friends in Congress, that are friends in the Senate. So they say, hey, I got a buddy here, throw in your bid, whatever it is, we'll get it approved. So if if your cost on them's $50,000 a unit, just tell them it's going to be $500,000 a unit, and we'll make sure you get the contract. This is what's happening. This is one of the aspects why our spending has gone astronomical, especially in the military. Right now, I just pulled it up from Boeing. Boeing's cost to manufacture a 747-8F, which is the newest, most current model, their cost, their raw cost to build this is $352 million. $352 million to build a Boeing 747-8F. Now, I understand Air Force One has all types of different radar systems, scramblers, all types of different things on it. I completely understand that. But you're telling me that the interior and the satellites and the scramblers is going to be basically $3.5 billion worth of the cost of it? I think not, guys. They're completely out of control. I'm really glad Trump addressed this the other day, because this is not something that we can continue to do just spending recklessly. And it's easy. When it's other people's money, it doesn't matter. When people, you just say, oh yeah, have the Federal Reserve print up another $1 billion. We need to buy this 747 so a couple of our buddies can get, $500 million commissions on it. Just go ahead and, give them the contract. That's fine. It doesn't matter. This is what we have to get away from. There has to be some type of accountability in the government when it comes to spending. Because even if we do get rid of the Federal Reserve, or if we do nationalize their assets, if we continue to allow the government to go back to the level that it's been, where it literally has no accountability on its spending, we're just going to go back the same way we were before, the same way we are now. It won't change at all. People have to start having accountability in the government, and that's one of the big things that I really hope Trump will start doing because of his business tactics and his skills and his experience. I really hope he's going to keep a lot of these guys accountable, Dad. I really do.
Well, the problem is, like you said, now also, what better place to hide another underground bunker complex for, you know, $2.5 billion?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Presidential plane. I mean, you got to remember something, guys. You really think a hammer costs $5,000? I mean, these guys, they have people in the accounting offices. They're looking at these numbers too. But remember, they've got to find a way to run the black ops, and the secret government has to be funded. I always remember that. The $1 trillion a year in the heroin sales into the United States has costs associated with it. The mob has to get their cut. The Catholic Church, when they're cleaning the money through the Vatican Bank, has to get their cut. The dealers have to get their cut. All these people have to get cuts. Okay, so you're not going to clear $1 trillion as far as net income to the black ops program. It's just not going to happen. What you're going to do is you're going to have a huge bunch of overhead. You're probably going to clear $500 billion. That's a lot of money, but that's not going to run all these chemtrail spraying operations and all of these foreign wars and all of these deep underground military base complex build outs. It's not going to pay for all of that stuff. What did the Penthouse? What did the Pentagon lose last month or 2 months ago? $9 trillion was it, Austin? This latest number? $9 trillion.
It was over a little of a period of time. Yeah, the last one I think it was since the beginning of the Iraq War. It was something around. Yeah, it was like $8 or $9 trillion in the last 15 years.
Well, now, is that money part of the national debt? That's $20 trillion.
I don't even know, Dad. It's so convoluted, and the numbers are so big now. I don't operate on that type of scale. It's very difficult for me to sometimes understand it. To be honest with you, when you start dealing with trillions of dollars, that are a trillion dollars, and they just disappear. We don't know. We lost $9 trillion. It just disappeared. We don't know where it went.
Well, I'll tell you where it went. It went into the doggone national debt of $20 trillion. So that means we could have erased, taken $29 trillion back. But no, it's the same thing. All the cash that we're sending over into Iran, all of the money we paid Iran. I mean, like Trump said, that's the worst deal ever. See, he's going into this whole thing operating the United States as if it were a business that's supposed to make profit and have a good balance sheet, which is what these guys in Congress have never bothered to think about. Next story, vitamin D prevents infections and slashes the risk of cancer. Guys, I cannot tell you how important vitamin D3 is. That's D as in dog, 3, but also you have to mix it with K2. Because vitamin D will have a tendency to calcify arteries if you're not careful, but when you put the K2 in it, it doesn't allow that to happen. And let me read this. This is an article by Mercola. He goes, vitamin D has some pretty extraordinary achievements under its proverbial belt, not the least of the disease prevention. Skin exposed to the sun produces the sunshine vitamin, which helps prevent osteoporosis and promotes strong bones, teeth, and also the immune system. Side effects without enough D include macular degeneration, lupus, bowel diseases, multiple sclerosis, and chronic heart failure. In addition, you can also have nonspecific chronic widespread mucoskeletal pain. That happens all the time with people who have vitamin D deficiencies. And probably the biggest thing with vitamin D is the lack of the immune system to fight against viruses. You have to have vitamin D because vitamin D activates the macrophages in the blood and allows them to go after and kill cells. This is the problem that children have who have been diagnosed in many cases with autism. Their macrophages don't allow the connection of the vitamin D because of NAGLACE. This is the research that was done by Bradstreet and Gonzalez, who were both murdered, in my opinion. Because they were talking about how to cure children with autism by giving them a GCMAF activating molecule to allow the macrophages to function again, and thereby getting rid of the autism and reducing the NAGLACE in the body. I know this is technical, but what this means is this, is that if your immune system is functioning properly, it has to have sufficient quantities of vitamin D in it.
if the macrophages are functioning properly, which are like the white blood cells that like eat everything, if they're functioning properly, they have to have a sugar atom attached to the bottom of the macrophage, which allows the vitamin D to hook up like a hose couple. And if that sugar molecule has been stripped off by the NAGylase, it doesn't allow the D to activate the white blood cell, the macrophage, and it doesn't allow the immune system to work. So when you start getting sick or your throat starts to hurt, you don't have sufficient strength in your immune system to stop it before the body gets sick. It goes into what's called a cytokine storm, and your body gets all nasals and a running nose, and if you've got this horrible cold and everything else, that's what all that stuff does. If you have it in your body to start with, it stops all of that. So guys, vitamin D is absolutely critical. We at Health Masters, we carry the finest, highest quality vitamin D. It's from a lanolin source with K2, 10,000 IUs of D. Most people carry 200 IUs of D or 500 IUs of D. We carry 10,000. If you're healthy, you only need two or three of those a week. That's all you have to take every other day, every third day. If you start coming down with something, you can load up on it. That's what I do. Especially if you start coming down with something like really swollen glands, or you think you're coming down with strep throat, you can stack that with our immune system protocol that we have on the website using the astragalus, the K2, the D3, the vitamin C, and the immune support, and the potassium iodide. And guys, it's like taking a supercharged immune system through your body, and it just cleans all of this junk out, and you don't really get sick. Since I started doing that, Austin, I've never caught another cold ever. But I take my potassium iodide every day, 13.5 milligrams. I take my D3 every other day, every third day. I take my immune system only immune support only when I need it. I take my vitamin C every single day. And so you got to take this stuff and keep your immune system really strong, because guys, look what just happened in Australia with that flu that burnt through there and now burnt through one of the other countries in the Middle East. This thunderstorm asthma stuff, or whatever they want to call it, whatever they're testing on us and beta testing on us at this point. Guys, listen to me. Get your immune system strong. This is really, really important. And by the way, while I'm on this topic, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting Health Masters. I want to thank you for at least getting your multiple vitamin from us. You guys have no idea. I've got so many of you guys now ordering multiple vitamins, and it's paying for the show now. Thank you for that. I really, really appreciate this, because it allows us to fund ourselves, because we're self-funded. We don't have a big sponsor coming in telling us what we can and can't say, or this producer who contacted me the other day who offered me this very large TV show if I don't talk about Jesus. I'm not going to do that. Guys, why would I do that? I would handicap myself, because it's part of me. It's all through me. I'm steeped in Christianity and Jesus. And I'm not a phony Christian. I try to do the best I can as a Christian, but this is how I live and breathe. I pray every morning. Guys, listen to me. We have to be what we say we are. We have to be true to ourselves and true to our nature as a Christian. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. Do I make mistakes? Oh, you betcha I do. Do I know why I make mistakes? Most of the time. And most of the time I repent and ask people to forgive me. But guys, listen to me for a second. That's what we're supposed to be in Christ. We're supposed to do all of that, but that's not all we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be walking the walk and talking the talk in all the areas of our life. That's so important. So guys, that's why I want to come back today and just say thank you so much again for supporting us, for supporting the show. And I want to thank you for all of the great emails we get that aren't critical of us. I really, really appreciate that, guys. And I want you to know something. I love you. I really do. I just really hope you have a blessed, blessed Christmas season. What's your next story, Austin?
No, you're absolutely right. Last one to close out on here before we finish. This is interesting. A scientific journal that was published and then actually unpublished after vaccine advocates raised all sorts of cane about it. It was entitled Vaccination and Health Outcomes, a survey of 6 to 12-year-old vaccinated and unvaccinated children based on mothers' reports. This is crazy here. It says in part of it, vaccinated children were significantly less likely than the unvaccinated to have been diagnosed with chickenpox. Okay. But significantly more likely to have been diagnosed with pneumonia, otitis media, allergies, and NDDs defined as autism, attention deficit disorder, and or learning disabilities. So what it showed in here was that vaccinated children had a very, very less likely chance to get chickenpox compared to unvaccinated children. The unvaccinated children usually got chickenpox. but the children that were vaccinated had a much significantly higher chance of getting pneumonia, allergies, autism, ADD, and other learning disabilities. It's stated in here in the study, based on a mother's report, the vaccinated had a higher rate of allergies and NDDs than the unvaccinated. Vaccination but not preterm birth remains significantly associated with NDD after controlling for other factors. However, preterm birth combined with vaccination was associated with a parent synergistic increase in the odds of NDD, which are defined as autism spectrum disorder, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and or other learning disabilities. This is a very, very significant article, and it got unpublished after it was already published because a bunch of vaccine proponents pitched a bit about it and said, you can't post that. That's not completely accurate. We don't believe that. Blah, blah, blah. But what's funny is then you see literally, you know, the vaccine study from the CDC, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in the United States, proof comes out that the MMR was directly linked to vaccine. Then they go, well, that wasn't supposed to get released. We don't know anything about that. That was never supposed to go out. We don't know how that got released. It's either one way or the other, guys. It's either these studies are true or these studies aren't true. You can't pick and choose. So I wanted to bring that up as the last story on here, Dad, to kind of give an idea to people to make up your mind about vaccines. But one thing you don't need to do is listen to the mainstream media and the pediatricians and the doctors about vaccines, because all they do is lie.
Well, you're right. Now, there are some good doctors out there that don't lie, and there are some pediatricians who don't lie, who don't want to vaccinate the children anymore. But guys, listen to me. The vast majority of the medical people in the United States have been sold out to the pharmaceutical corporations. And the way they do this is they basically have their continuing education classes being brought to them by the drug manufacturers and the vaccine manufacturers, giving them the lies while they're doing their continuing education classes to maintain their licensure about how good these vaccines are. That's what's going on with this. That's why these guys get all of this additional training outside of medical school from these drug companies. By the way, last week, thousands of snow geese died in Montana. I mean, thousands, like 10,000 of them, after landing on an acidic metal-laden water of an open old pit mine to escape a snowstorm. The AP reported Montana Resources said the mining company in charge of the toxic water told Billings Gazette the agency won't release the exact number, but estimates 10,000 birds perished. Think this plant is not polluted from what they've done? It's polluted. Austin, go ahead and close. God bless you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, guys. Well, we appreciate everything. Like Dad said, you know, we appreciate all the support, all the positive emails. They really are awesome. If you guys need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. We always try and respond to everything as quickly as possible. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, same time as always.